Do you know everything there is to love about your hometown Hoosier Lotto game? Like that it comes with an automatic multiplier that could multiply your non-jackpot winnings from 1 up to 10 times? Or, for a buck more, you can add plus for another chance to win up to $1 million. And for a limited time, enter non-winning tickets into the second chance promotion. Play your hometown favorite Hoosier Lotto today. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly.
Now we're on air, I'm Brian Benedict. We got Bruce Benedict actually in Virginia. I'm in Indiana. And Bruce, are you out there anywhere?
Absolutely. I'm all motivated today.
All right. He's probably chugging on an 8-ounce beer, but that's besides the point. We won't go there today. but yeah, anybody that wants to call in today, we've been doing this actually for a while. We just haven't really advertised anything, but if you want to call in, you can call in anytime. It's 213-943-3674. I'll see when you pop up on the screen, and I can go ahead and get you on the air. And that way you can ask some questions if you'd like. We really want to get a diverse crowd of professionals on here just to find out. I mean, both of us are John Maxwell certified leadership speakers and trainers now. And so we're using his influence and the principles that he teaches to better ourselves in the professions we're in and the side professions that we do as a hobby. So, and we just like other guys' input, other people throughout the country. Both of us were impacted with the John Maxwell convention. Bruce went back in August. I went here a few weeks ago in the beginning of March or mid-March. And it was just really good and professional. Today, what I'd like to talk about is really a vision. Having vision, no matter what career field that you're in. And Bruce, if you want to elaborate on that, I know you retired from the military. I retired from the fire department. And we both have, you know, they're very similar, but they're much different. So when you first entered, let's kind of go over what, I mean, you went in and I went in both 2 days after we graduated, graduated on a Friday and left for the Army on Sunday. And you went to Fort Dix, New Jersey, and I went to South Carolina and got ate up by red ants. But that's another story.
That's right.
If you could just kind of go through what your vision was, because you really progressed, you went another route. You retired as a major, as an officer, but you went in as an E2. So why did you go that route, or what vision did you have?
Well, I would say that from the start, I didn't have any vision other than survive. We got married right after high school. So, it's one of those things you go in and, you just kind of have to make it work.
Right.
Wasn't that enjoyable, obviously. But back then, I don't think we actually really even had we hadn't trained ourselves to mentally prepare for the vision that you're talking about. And I think as we moved through the military, and I say we, like my wife and I, but as we moved through the military, we you get to meet a lot of people who are very successful, and you're trying to figure out from them, well, how'd you do that? How did, we all came in, and like for me, I came in, I was supposed to come in as an E2, but my paperwork didn't show up until about 6 months to 8 months after. So I came in with nothing on my collar, right? An E1, although I was supposed to come in as a 2. And that meant a lot. You know, that means a lot. I mean, I hate to say it, but
it does.
You know, I still remember it, and I'm like, oh Lord, you know, I can't wait to be an E2.
No, and really, I mean, just the reason that we were supposed to go in as E2s, and I actually think I did. Whether I did or not, I wore the rank. I never had a E1 rank. So anyway, I don't know. I honestly really don't know. But we actually signed up. I mean, you kind of suckered me into it, but we signed up the summer between our 11th and 12th grade high school year.
Right.
And you're at the table. Yeah. Yeah. In the delayed entry program, where if you signed up, you'd get an extra rank that was worth about $20. So,
right.
But go ahead, man. Let's continue with your vision.
Yeah, man. So for me, I went in and I think what it boiled down to was trying to make a better life. And at a certain point, you know that where you're at, and I knew where I was at, it's just not the job that I want. I mean, I went in as a mechanic on helicopters, so I worked as an engine mechanic on Blackhawks. And, I think depending on where you work in that position, you know, maybe I would have liked it, but it wasn't something that I really wanted to do for a long period of time. And I tell you what was interesting, now that I'm thinking about it, is the first 4 years when we were over in Germany, you know, all of us, and I would say 90% of the people that are in their first 4 years are talking about nothing but getting out of the military. All right?
Right.
I mean,
right.
All of us retirees at 20 years, yeah, you know, we're studs, but the fact of the matter is all of us were privates at one point, and we were all talking about getting out of the Army, okay? And so,
right.
I mean, let's not lie to ourselves. We were all talking about that. And so for me, what I ended up doing was I kind of assessed it, because at that point I was married, so I kind of had to, you know, that weight, right? You have to worry about that. So for me, I started looking at all these people who had actually left, like I was thinking about doing, but then came back, you know, 3 or 4 years later because they couldn't make the money they needed to on the outside. And
well,
so
they came back in the military?
They came back in the military, yes.
Hmm.
But they were older, right? So they were
right.
older E4s. They were older E3s.
Okay.
They lost time, right? And
right.
Then they would, you know, and so for me, I was like, you know, I don't really at that point want to leave, figure out that I needed to stay in, come back in and lose time, so I might as well just reenlist and stay in. And
right.
So for me, I was like, okay, if I'm going to do that, then what's the vision? What's the stake in the ground that I'm going to go for? And ultimately in the military, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but ultimately in the military, it's about rank, right, and money. And so, you know, look, the higher the rank, the better the house, all right? The higher the rank, the more money. The higher the rank, the more people will listen to you, right?
Right.
That kind of thing. I can be in charge. I don't like the guy in charge of me. I want to be in charge, so how do I do that? So I don't want to live in this cockroach-infested department. I want to live in that house that on stilts like the colonels did, right? How do you get there? So what I ended up 4 years is I decided, you know what? I don't want to be the E4 that has 8 or 9 years of experience, right? I want to be the guy who gets promoted to E6 in 6 years and not in an MOS where I can't get promoted. And so I figured I was trying to look at the promotion system and how that worked. And, you know, in and outs, right? You sometimes you can't get out of your MOS, right? But if
right.
you can get out of your MOS, then you got to pick an MOS that you can get into, right? Those in and out lists. And so I listed all those down that I could actually get into, and my MOS, thank goodness, would let me out of it. And because everybody in my MOS, they had 8 years of service and they were still E4s. Nothing wrong with that. It's just I was like, man, I need something more than that, right?
You're just wanting more. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I mean, MOS is the job. It's like a job for those that don't know what that acronym is. But what does it actually stand for?
Military Occupational Specialty.
Okay. All right.
I
forgot exactly what it stood for, but I knew it was the job. But you stayed in that for 4 years and then got out, or not got out, but you re-enlisted in the intelligence field. I mean, so you went from a mechanic to the intelligence field, and that opened up a whole nother world for you that would challenge you, because I mean,
but
that's one of the things.
The reason
I
did that and the way I did it was, and after all these years, I mean, I'm thinking of this as if it happened yesterday, is I got the Army Times, and in the middle of the Army Times, literally every month, they would have the promotion points. And for probably 6 months to a year before it was time for me to reenlist, I had backwards plan. I go, okay, when can I actually start to look at reenlisting? You know, the reenlistment NCO says on this date. Okay, I'm a backwards plan. From this point on, every month, I'm going to get the Army Times, and I'm going to look at the promotion points, and I'm going to highlight everyone that has the lowest promotion points, right? Because back then, what the story was no one was getting promoted because the points would drop to just above, you know, just to pick one person up or whatever, and then go back up. So I'm like, okay, I want something that I can get promoted in. And so I literally spent 6 months to a year every month analyzing the trend of promotion points and came up with about 10 of the lowest promotion point jobs. And out of that 10, selected, you know, a couple of them, tried to apply for a couple of them, and got one of them.
Oh,
and
I see.
At point, as soon as I went into it, I got promoted.
And so,
to me, but that was a vision that I backwards planned for, you know? And I did the research and analysis for it. I did the same thing with the civilian workforce. But back then, that's what I did. And bam, I made E6 in 6 years. Well, that's unheard of. So, you know, but you know, you go through that planning process.
Right.
But I had the stake at the end of the ground. Hey, look, I need to get promoted. That's what I want to do. How am I going to do that? Well, probably promotion points, because in my current job, I can't get promoted outside of an E4, because we got E4s with 8-9 years in service.
Right.
So that's what I did with the stake in the ground, the vision, and then how do I get to that vision? Here's my plan. That's what I'm going to do.
So is that kind of what you handled when you went out of the military? You know, I mean, when you're on your way out processing, you went ahead and you try to get a vision of what you're going to be doing, or nowadays you're helping others with their vision of what they want to do?
No, I would say that I tried when I was in, but you know, the problem when you're in the service, even those of us that have 20 years or plus service, we know our retirement date. I mean, I actually had to apply for retirement 12 months beforehand. And back then, in 2007, you had to apply over 12 months ahead of time. Okay, so I knew 12 months ahead of time when my date was. I didn't know how to prepare. I mean, you go to transition assistance and this and that, but other than that, how do you literally prepare? Because it is so completely different. I mean, I've been doing this Army thing for 21 years. And so when I got out, as much as I thought I was prepared, I wasn't. I mean, it's just, it is so unfamiliar. I just had a friend of mine, he took me in, and I got a job, and I was like, okay, good. And after about 2 years, I was like, wow, this isn't for me. I need something else.
Right.
At that
point,
I started doing the exact same thing I did when I was a private. I was like, okay, what do I want? Let me put a stake in the ground. And what do I want? Meaning, do I want money, status, you know, rank, you know, basically, do I want to live locally? Do I want to live overseas? What is it? And let me put a stake there and I'm going to figure out how to get there. And for me, it was, let me work in the government. It was stable, right? It's a stable job, stable paycheck. The salary never decreases in the government. You get a lot of leave. There's a lot of benefits to it. And
you know what, Bruce?
Used to that.
Hang on just a second. This is somehow or another a short 15-minute podcast. Let's call right back. Give us 5 minutes, and I'm going to call you right back, okay?
Yeah, sounds good.
Do you know everything there is to love about your hometown Hoosier Lotto game? Like that it comes with an automatic multiplier that could multiply your non-jackpot winnings from 1 up to 10 times? Or, for a buck more, you can add plus for another chance to win up to $1 million. And for a limited time, enter non-winning tickets into the second chance promotion. Play your hometown favorite Hoosier Lotto today. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly. Do you know everything there is to love about your hometown Hoosier Lotto game? Like that it comes with an automatic multiplier that could multiply your non-jackpot winnings from 1 up to 10 times? Or, for a buck more, you can add plus for another chance to win up to $1 million. And for a limited time, enter non-winning tickets into the second chance promotion. Play your hometown favorite Hoosier Lotto today. Must be 18 or older to play. Please play responsibly.